word from the word. All right, I'm going to start reading from Psalm 127, and I've got a thought tonight. Don't let the devil jerk your chain. And I believe that right now he's jerking everybody's chain that he can and stressing people. In the last 2 years, the whole world, there's been a relapse all over the world. And people are stressed. And I would just like to give you a few moments of hope on that subject. Reading from Psalm 127, Father, thank you in the name of Jesus for your word. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And if we continue in your word, John 8:31 and 32, then you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Can you say amen to that? Amen. We're in the book of Psalms 127. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. Unless or except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build. Except the Lord watches over the city, the watchman waketh in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for God gives his beloved sleep and rest. And may I say, what Satan is doing in this age, in this hour, is he's trying to rob people of their peace, of their rest, of their sleep. It's one of the common denominators I hear when people ask for prayer. Now, right before I go any further, I want to pray for Brenda Jackson, because Brenda Jackson is needing prayer tonight very bad. So just join with me. Father, in Jesus' name, we just lift up Brenda. Just ask that you help her with her heart. Lord God, that she gets a direction from her doctor tomorrow when she sees him. And Lord, that ultimately that she, you just heal her by whatever means that you wish. And everyone said, amen. It is in vain. And what Satan is trying to do to people is this. He's trying to get people, and they're not doing it on purpose, to feel in their heart, if I don't do it, it ain't going to get done. And he keeps us going, and he keeps us going, and he keeps us going, and people are missing their sleep, they're missing their rest, and mostly their peace. Jesus said under the storm, peace, be still. And I say to you tonight, as a representative of Jesus in your life, if you need peace, I want you to put your hands up. Father, in the name of Jesus, peace be still to everyone whose hand is up. Thank you, Father. Don't let the devil jerk your chain. He wants to keep you stressed, missing sleep, believing that you have to do it. You have to do it all. But really, throughout the whole Bible, there's a different story. And this is the story. If you will just rest, if you will just give it a rest, if you will just be still, you will know he is God. Amen? Psalm 46 and 10, be still. Peace, be still in the name of Jesus. When we try to do it ourselves, we don't do this on purpose. Believers don't. But what it does is God's waiting for us to fully give it to him. Peter said this, cast your burdens on the Lord because he cares for you. And think about this. I've done a lot of casting. We cast it out. And then we pull it back in. We want to check our bait. How's things going? And cast your burdens upon the Lord and leave them there. Leave them there. Let me say this to you. When you pray about anything, God's working on it. If you're a child of God, and the thing is about the unseen world of prayer, many times, then Satan will attack us in our thought life, and we'll think, well, something went wrong. It's been 3 days. It's been a month. It's been a year. It's been 10 years. Habakkuk chapter 2 says this, whatever the problem is, though it tarry, wait for it. It's not as it seems. It's not as it seems. God really is. How many of you have a prayer out there that you have not got an answer on yet? Okay, I promise you, in the name of Jesus Christ, He's working on it. He's working on it, child of God. He's working on it. And one of the things that we need to learn and see, you know, we are not here on earth to float down the river on flowery beds of ease and have everything. You know what we're here for? We're here to learn. We're here to grow. We're here to become Christians. We're here to become Christ-like. And that's not easy. I said the sinner's prayer in the summer of 1971, and I can tell you this here. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because praise God, I don't know about you, but he's still working on me. And you may not think he is, but he is. I know he's still working on you. Do you believe that? Isn't it wonderful? He's still working on us. Vain, it is vain, it is vain. Verse 2, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to be stressed out and full of sorrows, because he gives his beloved sleep. At those times when you're having trouble sleeping, you've got to know the promise. The promise is God will give you peace, God will give you rest, and God will give you sleep. If you make a demand on the promise and you keep on doing it, no matter how long it takes, you'll get to that place. And I promise you, when you're resting, God and his mighty angels, God and his son Jesus, God and the Holy Spirit, they are working on whatever concerns you. The promise in the word, he will perfect that which concerns you. He won't leave it alone. But there's a far greater thing that God's trying to accomplish, and that's the growth of every child of God. We have to grow. Why? Because we're being prepared. I have a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. And I long to live by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. If I go away, I'm coming back, but I'm preparing a home for you. You have a home being prepared for you right now. You know that, Lucas? I know a lot of this is new to you, son, but he's got a home prepared for you. And what he's doing now, he's preparing us, each one of us, all of us, for that home. And wouldn't you say, man, we need it, don't we? I need all the help I can get. Amen? If you have any extra help that you don't want, my name is Jimmy. I'll take what you give me. Just pass it my way, for God's sake. The word says this, it is vain. That word means twisted in there, what Satan is doing to you, the Hebrew of that word is, he forces us into a prideful self-reliance, which is part of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where we make all of our decisions of what we can see, hear, taste, feel, or smell. When he wants us to make our decisions, according to Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. He's wanting us to learn to wait for that still small voice and to get that right direction for your life. Is there anybody in this room, you're facing something where you need a right direction now? Anybody? Well, then may the Lord give it to you. Amen? Unless the Lord builds the house. Who's building our house? Who's building our life right now? Is it the Lord? In just a moment, we're going to take communion. Part of communion, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul told the Corinthians, examine yourself first. then take communion. And Jesus said as often, not sparingly or whenever you feel like it, but as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you release the power of my death. So tonight, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to get real with God and try to leave something on the altar, wherever that altar is. Try to cast it out this time. Think about that and leave it there. Try to leave it there. Amen. Amen. I'm preaching a message entitled, Don't Let the Devil Pull Your Chain, because he will if you let him. If you give the devil an inch, he's going to take a mile. Now, that wasn't scripture, but that is certainly an American saying. And the word does say this, give no place for the devil and make no room for the flesh and love not the world nor the things of the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, it's passing away. It will not make it to the next life. We have to do what we can while we're here. A multitude of people around the world woke up this morning and thought to themselves, well, I'll be back tonight at my house. And they didn't make it. People are dying every day. Church-going people, okay? Christian people, all kinds of people. And what we want to do, we want to make our calling and election sure. We want to make sure every morning when I wake up, I say and pray the last words of Jesus from the cross. I say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. You have the absolute right to do whatever you want with me today because I made it that way. I made you the Lord of my life. You're the best dad I ever had, and I trust you. And yes, according to the prophet Jeremiah, you are the potter, and I'm the clay. You have a right to make anything out of me that you want to, and I trust you with that. So lead me along those lines today. When you start your day that way, you are on your way of having a good day. You're making it clear to the spirit world, to all the angels of heaven, to all the demons of hell, whose side you're on. Who is on the Lord's side in this generation? That's what God wants to know. And I'm not talking about bloody perfection. None of us are perfect. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that we love God. We trust in a Savior. He's our high priest. He forgives us. He intercedes for us. And we just try to go on when we make a mistake, when we make a sin. It's not the end of the world. Please don't believe that. When he saved you, he knew there was going to be problems, and he decided he was going to work on you and that you were good enough for him. Would you say something with me right now? Say, I'm good enough for Jesus. Thank you, God, that you saved me. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late. And you know what? We don't mean to do that a lot of times. Man, just the things of this life happen to us. And if we're untrained, if we have not trained our born-again, recreated spirit, we just continue to go on in that same vein of mediocrity. We have to learn, you need to learn who you are in Christ, because you have received, when you ask Christ into your life, you've received many powerful promises. There are over 8,500 promises in the Bible. There are about 7,500 promises made to mankind. And they're all for you, each and every one of you, not because you did right, but because you're leaning on Jesus. You're leaning on the everlasting arms. Amen? Amen. I'm going to turn to my next verse. And I'm saying it's not a matter of working harder. It's a matter of trusting more and loving more. Just love God. And in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, and I'm going to read two verses there, 26 and 27, says this. Behold, these are the words of Jesus Christ. Behold the fowls of the air, for they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father takes care of them. And as you read this, he's trying to get us, the readers, to let God take care of us. It sounds so simple, but the profound truths of the Bible are very plain and simple. They're so simple, you can overlook them. You can miss them. I'm going to be 70 in a few weeks, and I'm finding an easier time. I'll see you in the morning, Lord. Just falling asleep. And my lovely wife of 47 years, she's retired now, and we're having the most marvelous time together. We're having so much fun. And it's great to be a Christian. It's great to be alive. It's great to be married. And I guarantee you, remember this. Maybe this is for somebody in here. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor from God. I found a wife on August the 10th, 1974. Let me tell you, you've heard of the better half? She keeps me lined out. At 2 p.m. San Jose time, this lovely woman said, all right, I'm going to give it a shot. And we didn't get married in a fever like Johnny Cash and his little, we just got married and we just got married. And I'm going to say something that's very, very unpopular today. And I'm going to tell you, before God, when we got married, my wife was a virgin. And I grew up in one of the most messed up generation. I was a rock musician, so I could get all the drugs, sex, and rock and roll I wanted. And it led me crazy. It made demons came into me. I heard voices. I tried to kill myself. I had lots of problems. Until that summer in 1971 at 1765 Cathay Drive on the east side of San Jose, California, at my mother's kitchen table, where I was led in the sinner's prayer. And it absolutely changed my life. I did most of my best sinning after I got saved. I was only 19 when I got saved. And if I'm going to tell the whole story, man, I just started sinning. And you know what? Jesus, the Savior, he started forgiving me. And you know what? He changed me, not by threatening me, but by loving me, by showing that me. Let these people feel that. You need to know, everybody in this room, God loves you with an unconditional love. It's not because you did right today. It's because in the book of Genesis, he created mankind. And he didn't just leave us. He redeemed us. He gave us a way to get back on track. And he loves you. I don't care what anybody told you. You don't have to be ashamed in front of anybody. We've all missed it. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And we all need a Savior. We need a Father to correct us and protect us. We need Jesus to forgive us and intercede for us. And we need the Holy Spirit to empower us and to guide us. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm preaching a message entitled, Don't Let the Devil Jerk Your Chain. Behold, the fowls of the air, they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather in the barn, yet your heavenly Father takes care of them. And you know what the word says? He knows when the smallest little insignificant bird dies anywhere on the planet. And if you have any hair left, he knows how many hair you have left. And if you don't, he remembers how you used to have. Can I get amen? All right then. Verse 27, which of you, by stressing, by staying up late at night, can add 1 hour to your life? We can't. We can't. If we flow with the Holy Spirit, we can live out all the days that are allotted to us. There are many Bible verses that say that men sometimes cut their lives short by making the wrong decision. The Word also says God can add years to your life. Now, if you got a problem with that, take it up with God. I just read it. I didn't write it. Can I get an amen? But if he takes care of everything. That sun, it comes up just when it's supposed to. All the stars, he's got them all named. They move in just the way they're supposed to. The moon and the sun, all of that. The tides, the Word says in the last days that I believe that we are living in. I believe that we are in Revelation chapter 6, the fourth seal. I believe that the end is near. And I believe it's time for each of us every day to just reassert to the Lord, I love you, Daddy God. I need you and I want you. And thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for being patient with me. Amen. Has he been patient with you? The Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. You know what I've seen? One of the hardest things for human beings, Christian, non-Christian, devil worshiper or God worshiper, it's hard for people to get a hold of themselves and make themselves still. It's hard. This life is pressing in on us and wants us to react the wrong way and think, I got to do it myself or it won't get done. Consider the little birds. Consider the lilies of the field. How God just makes them so pretty. And he won't deny us the things that we need. My God. Philippians chapter 4 shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory through the finished work of Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that? He cares if you're in need tonight. God cares. God's got a plan. If you've been praying about something, he's been working on something. But prayer, remember, is invisible. It doesn't take a mental genius. It takes a heart that just flat believes God no matter what. I'm going to believe in God. I'm going through. I'll pay the price no matter what anybody else will do. I will take the way of my Lord's anointed view. I started out with Jesus and I'm going through. To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. I believe that in my heart. Well, explain that to me. I can't. I just believe it. I've laid hands on people. I've given out these anointing cloths for many, many years. They just work. I didn't ask Jay what happened with that anointing cloth. He just told me what it used it for and how it worked for him. Last place tonight is in the book of Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22. And I'm going to read from the Amplified Translation because it brings something out that you need to hear. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 22. In the Amplified Translation. And we're going to be talking about the blessing of the Lord. And while they're pulling it up, the Word says this: the blessing of the Lord maketh one rich and he adds no sorrow to it. The Amplified translation of Proverbs 10:22 says this: the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and hard work does not increase it. Why? Because it's the blessing of the Lord. I'm not saying that you shouldn't work. What I'm saying is this: you shouldn't be stressed. Every time that you're in a position where you can't make yourself still, we got it? The blessing of the Lord brings true riches, and he adds no sorrow to it, for it comes as a blessing from God. Okay? The Amplified translation says this: hard work does not increase the blessing of the Lord. If, you know, there are people that work very hard in this life, and some of them make it, most of them don't. I mean, they don't make it to superstardom. But the blessing that comes from God, if you can get on the blessing side of God, it's the blessing of God. It's not what you can do. It's what he's already done. Amen? Amen. The blessing of the Lord maketh one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Now, we're about to take Holy Communion. Now, the word says, the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, right before you take communion, examine your heart. He also said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just. He's faithful and has a legal right to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of your sins. So that's what we're looking for tonight. None of us are perfect. We have problems. We have challenges. We have to learn to trust God with our life. And if it's easy for you, well, come up here and lay hands on me. I have to keep the devil under my feet. I have to keep the promises of God in my heart. I'm going to ask you to make an altar where you are. Now, if you can't get down, just sit down and do it. Or come to the altar and let's examine our hearts. Let's do what the Lord said.